Welcome, welcome. Good evening, Wahoos and fellow ACC sports fans. Wow, things are really heating up. We're at the midway point of a very exciting college football season. And apparently sometimes the news is not always good, but we got to tip our hat to Mississippi State. I believe this is the first time in my lifetime they've been number one in the nation. And you got to admire Ole Miss, too. Ole Miss is, what, number three in the country?
The college football capital of the world apparently is down in the state of Mississippi these days.
Who believes, right?
Well, apparently the Rebels and the Bulldogs do. It was interesting to see, you know, the Wall Street Journal, where I get all my sports information, indicated that the total cost of the Mississippi State football program is $15.3 million in the last year that they have numbers available, and the cost of the Alabama coaching staff was $11.8 million. So the Alabama coaches cost almost as much as the Mississippi State program.
Well, that's Hobbo over there to my right. And good point, Hobbo. I did see the same chart in the Wall Street Journal this morning. And
when did you ever read the Wall Street Journal?
I read it every day, believe it or not there, Hobbo. And wow. Don't be shocked.
I am shocked.
Interestingly.
I feel like Casablanca. I'm shocked.
Well,
shocked.
Probably not as much as the rest of the ACC when they look over in the Coastal.
How about those standings, huh? Who's on top of the Coastal?
Virginia's 2-0, beating their chest.
With a half-game lead, you know. They're playing for first place this coming Saturday down in Dukie Land.
They got a big game in Durham this weekend. And we're gonna
whoever thought that a Virginia-Duke game would be a big game in football rather than basketball?
Hey, you can say that again. Certainly one of the more interesting contests to appear on the schedule a long time. And, you know, I don't think anybody thought Duke was going to beat Georgia Tech in Atlanta. I mean, Georgia Tech was playing at a very high level, and, you know, that convoluted offense they run where, you know, they got but 15 options off the same play, and their linemen are coming at all angles, chopping people down. And
I think we need to reach the point where we give kudos to Coach Cut. Isn't that what they call him down there, Coach Cutliff? He has done a whale of a job at a place that most people didn't think you could have success, Duke University. So
I got to agree with that, unfortunately. Got to agree with that. He's really made Duke very competitive. And
Got them to the title game last year.
Which is still hard to believe, isn't it?
And they're back 5-1 again this year. So big game, not only for Virginia, but for Duke. If Duke wins the game against Virginia, which we hope they won't, and I don't think they will, but if they do, that puts them in a strong position to maybe make a run at getting back into the title game. But
well, we're very excited tonight. We've got some great guests. First off, former UVA wide receiver. He was sort of a hybrid in his day, kind of a big wide receiver. He could play in the slot, and he was a mismatch for a lot of teams. He was too fast for linebackers and way too big for cornerbacks and safeties. But we're gonna ring him up now. Jesse's working on him. Later in the show, we've got a recruiting report from Chris Horn from the Saber. Chris is a longtime contributor and a good friend of the program. And Virginia's got 22 commitments, which isn't too shabby right now, and they're knocking on the door for 3 or 4, possibly 5 more. So very exciting times. Apparently 2 players are thinking about enrolling early, and that's how you can do that because you can only take 25 in a particular class. Looking at the game coming up, the bye week, did it come at a good time? I would have to say that for Virginia, the bye came at a good time. 6 games under their belt, 4-2. Gave the Wahoos a chance to take a breath, lift some weights, get back to their get back on a normal schedule, study up on the opponents coming up, and give some players a chance to heal up a little bit. There weren't a lot of significant injuries, although Virginia did lose a backup center and sometime starter to a foot surgery. And obviously, Grayson Lambert, the starting quarterback, has had an ankle injury, but he should be good to go. And rumor has it from Charlottesville that he will start the game down in Durham this coming Saturday at 12:30.
Yeah, I think there may have been some possibility that he could have played in an emergency against Pitt, but I think it was wise for the coaching staff to hold him out, particularly knowing they had the extra week so that he could clearly rehabilitate that ankle. And fortunately, it was not a high ankle sprain. It was just a more run-of-the-mill type of sprain of the foot or the ankle, which can get better in a period of 3 or 4 weeks. So one would hope that he'll start the game down in Durham pretty close to 100%.
And we're going to have Dr. Glenn Kerr on a little bit later from Ortho Virginia. He will talk a little bit about ankle injuries, which unfortunately we have to discuss way too often, but definitely a recurring issue in college sports as well as everywhere else. But all right, we've got Tyrone Davis holding on the line here. He grew up in Halifax, Virginia, played at Virginia from 1991 to 1994. He was drafted by the New York Jets and played there for several years. But his real claim to fame in the pros, he played for the Green Bay Packers for 6 years. And let me tell you, 8-year pro career is pretty impressive. Not many guys get to play beyond 2 or 3 years. He's now living down in Houston, Texas, raising 4 children. He's got 2 daughters and 2 sons, so I guess they could play some mixed doubles tennis or some volleyball or maybe some pickup basketball. So,
well, maybe the sons will be legacies and play football. You never know.
Well, we're going to find out about that. Yeah. So, first off, let's welcome Tyrone on the show. Tyrone, are you there?
I'm here.
Very good. Listen, we are excited to have you on the show. It's the first time for you joining us here on Who's Talking. And what a great time for Virginia football, rebounding off of a couple of down years. But this year, this team feels different, looks different, and, you know, with a little luck, they could easily be 5-1 and maybe even 6-0. So bye week, now they're going into a, hard to believe, a big game at Duke. While you were at Virginia, I don't think they ever – you guys never came close to losing to Duke, did you?
We actually did lose to Duke one time. I think it was – I hope it was only once, my senior year.
I know that there were several games during those years where Virginia pretty much took Duke to the woodshed. So,
Oh yeah, that was a norm. I think at that time, I think they had just got the new coach, so they were pretty fired up that year. So they did all right and got us that one time.
Well, Coach London would like to have this win on the road down in Durham on Saturday, and talk to us for just a moment just about the psychology of a football team during the bye week, and what do they do in that off week, and then how is the week of the game different?
Well, a bye week, you know, a lot of coaches like to handle those a lot of different ways. I've had coaches in the past where, you know, your bye week, you know, you're staying around, you're going to practice every day, and then I've had bye weeks where, you know, really didn't do anything. So it's all a matter of, you know, you have to have a feel for your team, basically. And, you know, that'll, I think, dictates what, you know, what you guys do for that on that bye week. And you just got to keep guys mentally, you know, in tune with, you know, you don't have a game this weekend, but you still have to stay mentally sharp.
Talk to us a little bit about Coach Welsh. I know he was a a big practice guy, and he always believed that, you know, you played as well as you practiced maybe, and you didn't play unless you practiced hard.
So, right. I think he coached more during practice and yelled more, if you can believe it, at practice than he did during the game.
Well, he didn't yell too much at you, did he?
Being an older gentleman, you wouldn't expect him to get out there. And, you know, it would be times where he would get out there. If we were, say, I remember one specific time, you know, the quarterback was supposed to do a certain thing. They didn't do it. So he runs out there and jumps on the center, and he shows the quarterback how to do it and runs the play. So just quirky stuff like that he'd do.
Well, you know, Coach Welsh, there are a lot of funny stories, obviously, about Coach Welsh that former players have shared with us, both on and off the air. One of my favorites was Ray Roberts, who was a massive tackle for Virginia and got in the middle of a brawl one day in a practice that got a little tense, and Coach Welsh ran over and jumped on his back, and you know, Ray didn't even feel him. Ray said later all he could hear was this squeaky voice in his ear. He's wondering,
in his ear, yeah.
How did Coach Welsh get in my ear?
that's classic George. I mean, you can ask anybody who's played for him. They'll have at least some kind of story to say for him. That's just the kind of coach he was. He was pretty much hands on.
Tyrone, this is Hobbo. I would echo Frank. We appreciate you joining us tonight. You're down in Houston. How much do you get a chance to follow the team? Any games on TV down there? Maybe the BYU game was on television.
I think you saw UCLA.
UCLA. I think the last game I saw was the UCLA game. You know, we don't get too much coverage down there. I try to find them, you know, whenever possible. But I try to keep my ear to the ground and see what's going on out there. We got social media, so I stay in tune with all the guys and how.
Well, the one thing you're probably hearing then is Virginia really has a terrific core of wide receivers this year. Any comments about the Virginia receiving core for 2014?
Yeah, I think those guys, from what I've seen and heard, I think those guys are, we got some playmakers. They've pretty much been relatively unknown, but I think right now they're stepping up, man, and getting the job done. And we've got a nice core of, now we're starting to get their tall receivers in again and tall, fast guys. And, we got a good mixture of playmakers in there. So the key is just to keep developing, keep getting them better. And they're doing a good job of it.
You know, Hobbo's making a good point. Miles Gooch, who's a senior, is 6'3", 210. The other end of the line, you got number 14, Andre Lavrone, is 6'2", 210. I'm looking for another player. Kanane Severin.
Severin, he's a tall. Yeah, he's actually leading the team in touchdowns, I think. So,
And Keon Johnson
guys
is 6'3".
We're making a comeback, man.
Big guys that can run are making a comeback.
That's right, because that's all we used to have back in my day, man.
Well, I want to ask you a question now while we're talking about the receivers. You were joking with me today about a long pass play where Matt Blunden threw you the ball playing against NC State on the road. You want to tell us about that play?
Well, first of all, let me start the little thing by saying it had rained all day that day before the game, so the field was pretty. It was pretty messed up. It was mush, but I think we were down on our 9-yard line. I ran a streak down the sidelines, and he threw me the ball. And I was caught, and I was behind everybody. So I'm running and chugging along. I'm getting closer to the end zone. Next thing you know, I lose my – somehow I lost my footing and just fell right on the 1-yard line. And, in college, you can't get up and run in. That's it.
Well, you know what's interesting is I looked this up, and that was November 9th. Back in 1991, NC State was number 18 in the country, and you and Blunden and the rest of your crew, I think Randy Neal was playing with you, you guys only beat them 42-10.
That's right.
So even though you didn't quite get in the end zone, I'm sure everybody was still happy.
Say it again.
I said, apparently you guys must have been still very happy getting to the goal line.
After the game, I didn't forget about it. Let me start. I don't even want to say that. they would never let me live that down.
Well, had it been me, I would have probably just run out of gas and fallen down at the 1-yard line. That's too far to run.
I was pumping that day.
Well,
I don't know what happened. Maybe I was running too fast.
Well, you and Blunden had a terrific year that year, and was Petey Allen on the team with you in those days?
Pete came in my sophomore or junior year. Pete got there, but when my freshman year, it was Larry Holmes and myself. Pat Jeffers was there, and Brian Totola was there.
You and Jeffers were quite a tandem.
Yep, yep.
You guys had a lot of fun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Loads of fun.
Blunden was such a terrific rebounder in basketball. I used to wonder, why are we putting him on the football field? But then it would have been his senior year. He just exploded, and the guy was automatic. I think he threw something like 315 consecutive passes without an INT.
That was his senior year was my freshman year.
Wow,
and that year I think he won ACC Player of the Year that year.
I think he did.
Back in the day between Blunden and Terry Kirby, we had
and Sean Moore,
some football guys that did play basketball and contribute.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah. Tyrone, did you play any basketball in high school?
Oh yeah, I played in high school.
So did it ever?
I wanted to play.
Did you ever
recruit by Terry Hawkins for a quick second?
Did you try?
I didn't try. No. Well, I just stuck with football.
Well, I think you made the right decision. 8 years in the NFL, and you've been.
I think so too.
And you've been working in the mortgage field and as a consultant
right.
for a number of years down there in Houston. And we talked about earlier in the introduction. You've got four kids. Talk a little bit about raising four kids, because man, that's a lot of work. And you said your oldest daughter is at Baylor now, which that's not a cheap school.
No, it's not. But it's a good school. So Alicia, I'm just glad she was smart enough to get in.
There you go.
Hey, the Baylor Bears.
Baylor Bears. That's it.
Are your sons playing any football or any sports?
Well, my son, they're not too, athletically inclined, but they give it a try.
Okay.
But what they lack for in athletics, we make up for in smarts.
There you go. Some would say maybe that's the only way to go.
That's right. That's the most important way to go.
Now, do you remain a Packer fan?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
They had a nice win yesterday at the last.
I'm still a Jet fan, too.
There you go.
I bet you'd like
Even
to have played.
Even though they're not doing
You probably, as a receiver, you'd probably like to play with Aaron Rodgers. He's pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I had a great quarterback, too. Now, don't forget Brett Favre.
That's right. Mr. Packer.
That's it. The gunslinger, man.
Favre wanted to play forever, but they said he couldn't do it.
Yeah, if you wouldn't know, you want to hear some stories. I don't think I can tell most of them on air now.
Well, I'll tell
give you a good one or two on Brett.
Well, he was a character. You know, Don Majkowski was on the show a couple years ago with us, and I saw him again down in Atlanta at the Chick-fil-A Bowl. And Majkowski is quite the character. What a great guy. I know you got to know him at some point during your time. I mean, I know he was doing Green Bay Packer radio probably when you were playing with Favre, right?
Yeah, early on, yeah.
And did you ever have a chance to connect with him a little bit?
Just a little bit. He wasn't around too much, but yeah, I got to connect with him a little bit.
I tell you, he used to tell some great stories. He told us about how he got the jersey, number one jersey at one time, and the locker guy threw him another jersey. It was Paul Hornung's number, and after his first year, they said, "We're going to retire this number. You can't wear this, so you got to wear another number." So it's one of Majkowski's favorite stories. But hey, tell us who are some of the players that you guys used to hang out with, and who do you still stay in touch with?
Oh man, my roommates. We roomed pretty much all 4 years. Randy Neal, I think he was on the show a couple weeks ago, maybe.
Yes.
Paul London, Joe Crocker, Simeon Willis. So those my core guys right there.
Well, Simeon was quite the quarterback. I think he was a number one. And then later he went on to play on the baseball team, and they won the ACC title.
That's it. That's it. Dual sport athlete, man.
They're all good guys, and we've had a couple of them on the show. Paul London was a good guest.
Oh, yeah.
Unfortunately, Tyrone, we got to jump to break. We've enjoyed having you on the show, and maybe late in the year or next year we can bring you back.
Sure, I'd love to come back. Thank you guys for having me.
Tyrone, have a great night, and we're going to jump to break. When we come back on the other side, we'll probably cover some of the ACC games and preview the recruiting report. Stay with us. This is Who's Talking.